Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. The boys are back. What's up, fellas? How we doing?
All good, man. Nice and refreshed. By the way, I needed that SunPass on my trip. We're driving down to Orlando instead of stopping at the toll booths. You know, every couple of miles on that little tollway to the airport.
That's why I have a SunPass for that reason. Exactly.
I need to get one. I have one. Tell you that.
Yeah. Because I go down there all the time, and it's if you don't have one, it's not fun to stop.
No,
there you have. Did you fly out of Orlando?
Yeah, flew out of Orlando.
You went first off, you went to Costa Rica.
Yeah,
right?
Direct shot from Orlando to Costa Rica.
No. We had actually flew from Orlando to Miami. We got better ticket prices through Orlando, which is fine. I mean, it's not that far of a drive.
No.
But there's a couple different ways you can get
Orlando
there.
To Miami.
Yeah,
that's a quick flight.
Oh yeah. Yeah, not a cup of coffee flight,
yeah.
But the easiest way to go there is to try to – you don't get direct anywhere from Jacksonville, of course. So you either got to go to Miami or you got to go to Atlanta or you got to go to Houston, But that's fine. Orlando was fine, the airports.
Where'd you go in Costa Rica?
Playa Hermosa on the Pacific coast, There's two airports in Costa Rica. You have San Jose, which is not known for being very nice. And then there's a newer airport about maybe only 15 miles as a crow flies from the Pacific Ocean. It's a place called Liberia, which is the way to go. Easy airport, rental cars.
Yeah,
and
that's on my list. That's on my list of places to go to Costa Rica because you're about the 10th person who's told me it's an amazing place.
Very cool.
You haven't cut your hair since before then?
No, I have not.
I like it.
I have not.
I kind of dig it, actually.
Yeah, it's getting long.
Yeah.
Getting gray.
You were on a cruise ship, Tony.
I was on a cruise. Did you see me tweet?
Yeah, did you listen to the show?
No.
No, of course you didn't.
No, of course I didn't.
How'd you tweet from the ocean, by the way?
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
They have that on the cruise ship?
Wi-Fi on the boat, yeah.
Why do you need that? You're on a cruise ship. What do you need Wi-Fi for?
Well, I'd like, because I got...
Some people work on vacation too, JP.
I did some work, got some emails.
Oh.
Can communicate with my son who's in college and wasn't able to be there and keep track of his spring football stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And track you on Twitter to make sure there's no nonsense going on.
I'm sure that was higher on your priority list, probably.
Yeah, right? So it was a good time. Yeah, we went on a cruise to the Caribbean. We've done that. We do that pretty much everywhere with the kids. I actually try to talk them out of a cruise this year because we've been doing it for a while now. And
The buffet. Can't do
no,
the buffet
No, they like
anymore.
It because I got kids from, my 18-year-old didn't go, so 17 to 6. So they like all different things. And you're on a cruise ship. They have kids camps and they have water slides.
A little bit of everything.
They have everything. Hmm. And at night, the one good thing, there's several good things, is they all have activities and different things. And my 17-year-olds run around, I just tell them don't fall off the boat. And
that's key number one.
Yep. And so, but it allows Angie and I to go out and, have dinner and hang out and whatever. So it's a good time. We had a great time. Very relaxing.
I've never been on a cruise. I guess the casino cruise doesn't count out of here.
No. Right. That's not a cruise.
And I wouldn't recommend that over 5-foot seas. It's not good for anybody.
I might consider that a cruise. Some people might consider that
they have
cruise.
They have casinos on these boats too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, on there too.
Oh yeah, full casino.
Oh wow,
everything.
Hmm. Plenty to get to tonight.
Good.
Yeah, sounds like you guys had a good time. We were holding down the fort here. We got it done.
I went bobsledding in Jamaica.
Nice.
Through the rain.
Rollerblades.
Cool Runnings was the name of that movie, right?
Yeah,
cool
they had all the pictures of the Jamaican bobsled team. So it's on this track, and you fly through the rain.
What kind
down.
Of was it go? Got wheels like skateboard wheels on the bottom
but it's almost like a two tracks and I don't know exactly what kind of wheels they have, but they're heavy duty wheels and you fly around banks. They have nets. I'm like, when I saw the nets, I'm like, does this mean you can actually fly out?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It was a good time. It was and you went up to the top.
You actually fit in a bobsled.
That's what happens.
It's a brand new Tony.
When you lose weight, my big fat
how many people were on the bobsled?
One. Everyone had their own.
Oh, that's cool.
And now I attach I have a 6-year-old, so I attached her. But you could attach bobsleds together because she couldn't do it by herself, and I attached hers on the back, and I never hit the brakes. And she was telling me, go faster, faster, faster. We flew. I was waiting for us to fly out.
You're in trouble.
Isn't the one-man bobsled a luge? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah, but we didn't lay down, JP. We were in an actual.
Oh, excuse me.
So it was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Plenty to get to tonight. We'll start off, though, with the preseason schedule out today. The Jags at the Jets week one, home against Tampa Bay week two, home against Cincinnati in primetime on NBC week three, and then finish at Atlanta in week four of the preseason. But another nationally televised NBC sports game this year at home.
My
the most important game, too.
My favorite part about that schedule is very easy for me to pick out early.
Travel.
Is New York.
Travel.
Great meal. Joe Fortunato, the esteemed producer, is raising his hands in victory over.
You're going to be allowed to eat the great meal, though?
Oh, I already got a game plan for the season.
Oh.
And the game plan includes Saturday nights, I'm eating. And find a great Italian restaurant in New York. And Joe and I will be greatly enjoying ourselves with a fine meal. Mm-hmm. I mean, because preseason's preseason, right?
Yeah.
And so really, and Jeff, we've talked
about it. You got all day the next day to recoup.
And we've talked about it.
Yeah.
The important thing is how many good restaurants are in the cities you go to on preseason games.
Correct.
And New York has a lot.
New York and Atlanta have good ones too.
Atlanta. There's. Mm-hmm. I actually went to a great steakhouse in Atlanta last time I was there.
What's it called?
Cuts. Cuts. And if we stay at the same hotel we did in the previously, right there downtown at the with the Ritz, wherever we stay,
and
it's walking distance from there.
They do have a Fogo to show.
They have a Fogo to show.
And they've got Bones and Buckhead. There's a Chops. Yeah.
Bones is a
too.
First of all, Bones. I mean, Buckhead's like a 15-minute cab.
Yeah. So.
Well, JP, we're downtown.
You want Bones? You go to Bones.
What is Bones?
The steakhouse in Buckhead.
Okay, but there's great steakhouses downtown, so why would you go all the way down to Buckhead?
I like Bones.
There's a reason you don't travel.
Oh, wow. Listen to this guy. Unbelievable.
There's a reason you're here manning the tent.
That's great.
I like to schedule.
Thanks a lot.
I like to schedule for a couple reasons, and most importantly is Cincinnati week three.
At home.
At home,
great
which
test.
Is the most important game in the preseason.
Time.
It's a playoff football team in Cincinnati. It's Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night game.
8 o'clock kick.
I like it, and I think that having weeks two and weeks three at home, which are the most attractive games to me.
Yep.
Week one somewhat because you just want to see the first game, but as far as play time for your starters and your regulars, week two and week three, and to have them at home is I think fantastic for Jaguar fans.
You know, it's a great opportunity. But I like that week three game, Sunday night against the playoff team. It doesn't mean anything record-wise, obviously, in the big scheme of things, but what it does mean for a young Jaguar football team where the starters are going to play at least a half, you can go out and make a little bit of a statement. And not just to your fan base.
To yourselves.
To yourselves, but also, Jeff, to the national football audience. Like, listen, this isn't the same Jaguar football team. Like, we're here to compete. We're here to contend. We're here to make, do something. And I know it's only the preseason.
Yeah, I was the devil's advocate here. Come on. Well,
it's a great test, too, because Cincinnati's got a good football team.
JP, you're on Sunday Night Football. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time this team was on NBC on Sunday Night Football?
Before I was here. I know that.
And so, listen,
yeah.
I know it's preseason, but you're on NBC Sunday Night Football, which is one of the, in my opinion, is really taken over for Monday night as the primetime game.
It is, and the ratings say so.
Yeah, and that's what – I mean, and so – and now all of a sudden – you have a chance against a good playoff team, and if you can come out in that first half and move the ball and stop people and some of your young players make some great plays, guess what? The nation watches, all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, Blake Bortles, he's pretty good. Dante Fowler, you see him rush the passer. Allen Robinson, that means something. And I think for a young team, I mean, when you compete like that, listen, is it going to change the season or, make or break whether you have a good game or not? No, but I think there's a lot of positives that can come from it.
And it's going to be week two's kind of reunion weekend now. I mean, with Dirk Cutter and his staff that he's got there in Tampa Bay, I mean, it's I don't want to say it's the same, but it's pretty close to the staff that was here under Jack Del Rio, Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith. And
I kind of wish I like playing at Tampa in the preseason.
At Tampa?
Yeah.
There's another steakhouse down there, too. That's
no,
fine.
Because it's a quick trip home.
Yeah, you always want a road game to Tampa.
Burns, right?
Yeah.
At the steakhouse?
Yeah, Burns.
Yeah, see? It's all about the steaks.
But having Atlanta the last game.
Again, you don't go.
Hey, the fourth preseason game is a throwaway game. Short trip.
You're
knock
back.
It out.
Back.
And get back.
I like preseason games that are close to home.
But you know that you want to talk to me. There's not going to be a starter playing in the fourth game,
which always makes our job much harder.
You're playing Sunday night, and then turn around and play what Wednesday
or Thursday night?
Thursday night.
All Thursday that last.
So
no, no one's playing.
Nobody's going to play. Sunday night till Thursday night.
Nobody.
Now, that Week 3 game is the only one with a kickoff time. It is 8 o'clock on Sunday Night Football on NBC. The other ones could waver depending on
the home games.
They'll know soon the
home games. Will be at 7:30, and the East Coast road games will be at 7:30. I mean, that's typically
well,
when
night?
You kick off.
Friday, Saturday, Thursday?
I
don't know yet.
That's no, the, it'll be Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
7:30.
Could be Thursday.
Hasn't been announced. It could be
Thursday.
Usually that first one, though, is that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And since you're already playing one Sunday, my guess is a Friday, Saturday. But who knows? You're right. When does the actual schedule come out? Next week or so,
believe
right?
In the next couple of weeks. Yeah. Right before the draft, normally. The week before is when that comes out.
It'll be 2 weeks from now.
So that's coming up quick. We'll know for certain what's going on. Plenty to get to tonight. Plenty of prospects in the building this week. We'll break down some of the guys that were here. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina, or for Loggeman to navigate through Orlando. SunPass, catch one today. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Loggeman, glad you're with us tonight. A few prospects in the building this week, guys. The Jags, at least the last few years, have done their pre-draft visits in a couple of days. All, you know, 9-10 guys one day, 9-10, whatever the number is, the next day. Saying this this year, Tuesday and Wednesday, 9 players each day in the building, rotating through coaches, scouts, even stopped at Jaguars.com. So video content on the Jags website right now with all or most of these guys and a few over the next day.
Who was your favorite since you got to interview them all?
Well, I did Tuesday's group. Of that group, Miles Jack was fantastic. We get like 3 minutes. It's not a huge, long process with them, but Jack and Bosa. Yeah. I think Bosa's really, really a deadpan, but can be really good in the locker room and with media and types like that because he's so deadpan. I think he's funnier than he thinks he is. Fantastic. Huh. And Miles Jack, really, 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 really good in terms of media.
How many of the guys have you watched that came in?
I don't know. I give me some names and I can tell you. I mean, I watched Miles Jack and
Bosa. Jack. Reggie Ragland, Jalen Ramsey,
yes.
Ronnie Stanley,
no.
Vernon Hargraves,
a little.
Eli Apple,
no.
I didn't watch him.
Kenny Clark,
I watched him.
How was he?
Kenny Clark is
defensive tackle, UCLA.
I saw him in the building that day. He's not very tall.
I watched him last year because what number is he?
97.
97. And I remember watching, what was the other guy at UCLA, the linebacker? Barr?
Kendricks?
Kendricks. Oh, yeah. Kendricks. Yeah. Michael Kendricks' brother. And I remember watching UCLA film last year. And when I got done watching film, I was talking to somebody, and I can't remember who it was, in the Jaguars personnel department. I said, you know, did you watch the guy at UCLA? And I was like, yeah. I said, he kind of reminds me a little bit of his brother. And I said, but tell me who was number 97. And that was my comment to him, and he was like, that's so-and-so. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I said, I don't know about that Kendrick guy. He's kind of okay. I said, but number 97 for UCLA, I said, write his name down. I said, and I asked, I said, is he a junior? Is he a sophomore or whatever? And the guy told me he was a junior. I said, draft that guy next year.
So I saw him in the building, and I'll be
so
honest,
I have watched him.
And I saw him, I'm like, man, he's not very big. He's not real tall.
Kind of like Aaron Donald.
And then someone reminded him, he's like, Roy Miller's not real tall either. I'm like, that's a good point. So I turned on the film today, and he is a powerful,
quick,
good pass rusher nose tackle position, good lateral movement, uses his hands above average for a college guy. I was impressed. I mean, I think he's – If he's there at the top of the second, boy, he's a guy you have to really look at.
Really
good player. He's a good football player.
Some guys in on Wednesday. Von Bell, safety, Ohio State.
Didn't watch him.
Not yet. DeForest Buckner. They call him Defoe.
Watched him.
From Oregon.
You thought he was a little stiff, right?
Yeah.
I haven't watched him yet. I've watched.
I need to watch more of him.
I've watched all the first day guys. And Tunsil. I added Tunsil, even though I know we're not taking him, but I wanted to watch him because everyone asked me what I think.
How do you know?
I don't think. Let me say this. I don't think we're going to take him.
Oh, I thought you were breaking a little news.
No, I don't think we're going to take him. We might take him, but I'd be shocked after signing Kelvin Beachum that we took a left tackle.
Well, yeah, sure.
But he, I'll tell you what, impressive kid. Impressive on film.
Who else? What else you got?
Let's see. We got Leonard Floyd, Georgia defensive
end. That's the guy he's on my list of who to watch next.
Mm-hmm. Jayron Kearse, Clemson safety.
No,
I haven't watched any of the second day guys.
Crickets.
Watched all the first day guys.
Ryan Kelly, Alabama center.
Watched him a little bit.
And I can't pronounce this. Ngakoue, N-G-A-K-O-U-E, the Maryland defensive end.
No.
Yannick is there.
No.
Ndichi, Ole Miss.
I've watched him live.
Noah Spence.
Watched him.
Defensive end. What'd you think of Spence?
He's a good football player.
Freaky athlete.
He is a really good football player.
Just the off-the-field issue as he passed.
Yeah, but he's been clean for a while. Yep. So, I mean, you know, and from what I understand, his interview process, he's been very upfront about
He's owned it. He hasn't tried to push it off making excuses.
If there's ever a guy that, you know, you could have as kind of a role model of how to deal with maybe some past issues and how he's dealt with that in the current today, he's done a great job.
So I want let's talk about the three guys that – we think they're going to take. And I would put it down between Bosa, Ramsey, and Miles Jack.
Mm-hmm. Out of those three, who do you take?
I would take Miles Jack.
Me too.
If they're all three available, you're
taking
Jack.
Now, the only caveat I'll put on that, he's going to get his knee tested again at the second combine, so you want to make sure that test. So I'm saying that based on the fact that it's going to come – everything's going to look good and there's no problems. But if he's healthy – I take Miles Jack. Watching his tape.
He's a freak.
He was covering. I couldn't find him at first, number 30. I'm like, I'm watching the tape. I'm like, where is he?
I had the same issue.
And then all of a sudden, I stopped it, and I'm looking over the whole film, and there's no one in the box at 30.
No, because you start out looking at end zones. So, you want to watch a linebacker. You're going to watch the end zone copy, and he's not there.
So
you're
then
going,
I went to the video, the computer screen, how they do video now, and I went and made sure I was on Miles Jack because I'm like, he is not here. So then I looked at the wide view, and the guy's covering the slot receiver, man-to-man.
Mm.
Yeah, and he's not a tight end. No, it's not a tight end in the slot.
A true receiver.
He is a wideout.
And man, press coverage.
Who are they playing? What game was it?
Doesn't matter.
It was BYU when the first one was BYU.
Doesn't matter.
No, it's a slot receiver. I mean, because JP rolled his eyes for.
No, I mean, it could be like Podunk State.
Have you heard of? Receiver. Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you heard of Nelson Aguilar, the second round pick for the Philadelphia Eagles last year?
Yes.
When they played SC a year ago, he was in man press coverage on Nelson Aguilar, who was a second round pick in the NFL. Is that good enough for you, JP?
Well, there you go. Hey, nice.
Yeah, he's a real deal now.
And I watched him, and he covers like he's a corner.
Better than any DB they got on their team at UCLA.
And then. Wow. Two plays later, he's in the box, and a tackle goes up to block him, and he presses the tackle and stalemates him. And I'm like – and then I watch him from, you know, a flat defender race and chase down an outside a receiver who catches the ball and make an open field tackle. And I sat there, and I'm like, this is the guy we need to draft. And then – but then you turn on Jalen Ramsey's tape. And after watching that, I'm thinking, well, maybe we need to draft Jalen Ramsey because he's a long corner who makes every play, and no one throws the ball to him because he's in lockdown coverage the entire time.
Let's hear from Miles Jack on Jaguars.com earlier this week. Why the Jags should select him at number 5.
They need to draft Miles Jack because Miles Jack is going to come in, and he's going to be an impact player. He's going to work hard. He's going to represent Jacksonville to the fullest. And he's going to give it everything he has. And he's excited to be a part of this young up-and-coming team with the offense they have and, you know, the pieces you guys are putting on defense. I feel like I'll be the perfect fit.
About the same question for Joey Bosa from Ohio State.
And then after we play this, I want to talk to Jeff about Bosa because I watched him today as well.
coach told me defense was struggling last year, so obviously need some help on the pass rushing standpoint. 29th in passing defense, overall defense. So if you want a better defense, bring in the best pass rusher in the nation.
There's Joey Bosa on Jaguars.com right now. What you think about
so
Bosa, boys?
Turn on the tape, and I'll be honest with you. I was not sold on Bosa before I watched the tape because I was worried. You know, you looked at his combine numbers, and they were good, but not great, and you worried about his athletic ability. And so I'm watching the tape and watching, and they have different categories that you can watch. You can just watch a game, or you can watch his pressures or his sacks or whatever.
Plays he's involved
in. So I always watch the plays he's involved in because I don't want to go through the entire game and try to figure out where he is. And so plays he's involved in. That doesn't mean he means he makes a tackle, but he's around involved. And I'll say this. The guy is very, very polished and uses his hands and pass rush moves almost like he's a veteran NFL guy. He can turn his hips. He understands angles. He understands the rush game. He is physical. He is a really, really good football player. He's a great college football player. But, I mean, the guy can play football. My only concern is, and it's not fair.
And let me ask you this question here. Mm-hmm. How great of an athlete is he?
That's my concern. So here's my concern. And I don't know if it's fair because it's not like he's a bad athlete. I mean, look at his numbers.
No, not a bad athlete.
But my concern is this. Is he maxed out who he is? And so, because – Most great pass rushers in college don't have a clue how to rush the passer. They're raw. They're just great athletes. They're just better than the guy, and they just dominate him. And that's why you see young pass rushers all the time come in the NFL their rookie year and they struggle. Because you can't just beat offensive tackles for the most part just because you're a freaky athlete. They're too good. And so my only concern is is he maxed out, and is he just going to be a good NFL player and not a great one?
And that goes to my question: is that when you're in the top five of the draft, you're looking for an elite athlete, an elite player. And I agree with Tony in that I don't think he's an elite athlete. I would compare him to a Trace Armstrong. You know, guy that played for many years in the National Football League, you know, very good with his hands, but there's – I don't see anything freakish in his abilities that he has.
Well, I'll say this is what I see as freakish, Jeff. He plays with his hand use and his leverage for a young player is freaky. Yeah, I mean, he plays. And so if he's picked number five, we are going to get a good football player. My question is he going to be a great one? Where I think Miles Jack – is it going to be a great football player? I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be a great NFL player. I think Bosa will be a really good one. The book's out whether he's going to be great.
And at five, you have to go great over good, right? You prefer great.
Well, that's
five.
Why I'm saying if all three aren't going to be there, but let's just say somehow it happens, I would take Miles Jack if he's healthy.
Agree.
There you have it. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Should all the picks be defense this year? We'll discuss when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman. He's got handed a ticket to the Suns game tonight, by the way. And Blake Bortles is throwing out the ceremonial first pitch with Mayor Lenny Curry tonight. at 7:05.
The question is, will Blake throw it from the mound, or will he take them up on the offer to throw it in front?
It's a great question.
I had that decision about a month and a half ago. A buddy of mine's a baseball coach, high school baseball coach over there in Orange Park.
Okay.
And he said, hey, will you come out and talk to the team and throw out first pitch? I said, I'd love to. You know, so, you know, I'm in the ultra sling.
Okay.
You know, post-op.
I hope you took the in front of the mound.
I didn't.
It's hard to throw with your arm tucked underneath.
It was straight, and it really looked good. I mean, the motion was good.
It was short, though.
And it one hopped over the plate.
What would Suter say?
He would not have been proud, I can tell you that.
I threw out the pitch at the Suns game years ago.
When was this?
You can't throw from short of the mound.
You got to go to the rubber, man.
You got to go to the rubber.
I'll tell you the story. So, you know, you're sitting there in the dugout waiting to go out or wherever you are. And
that's what it's called. It's the dugout.
So they say, all right, it's time to go out there. So I walk out there.
Did you warm up?
No.
Neither did I.
No.
That was a mistake.
And it's not like I have great shoulders like you.
Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. It looked good, but it hurt.
And so I got out there, and they said, they had it set up before the mound. And I said, no.
No, no.
So I got on the mound, and I was proud to say, threw a strike.
A strike? A swinging strike or a true strike?
Well, there was no one swinging, JP.
Okay, I was about to say.
But it was over the plate, and it was on a line. It wasn't – I'm not saying it was anything like
– Were you reaching way back in the motion?
Well, I can't really reach back because the shoulder doesn't go back that far. But I gave my best effort, and I was just – and it hurt like hell.
Oh, yeah.
And – But I got out. I raised the hands up and said, "I'll never do that again."
What year was that? You remember?
Oh, it was early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
It was right when I got. It was either right before I left to Houston or right when I got back. I can't remember.
Oh, in the old park then. It wasn't a new place.
No, it was a new place. So it had to be.
Oh,
it
3 years later.
Yeah, it was right when I got back from when I moved back.
Wow, there you go. Baseball.
See,
season.
I was a catcher, so I should have caught the first pitch.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
What did you play in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, state champions, baby.
I quit at age 14.
That was my Al Bundy moment.
State you still champions. Have the ring, championship ring?
We were state champs my junior year in the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
And we had a head coach was Mike Nunley. We had a team with one senior, and his name was Dennis Quinn. He was our second baseman, and he batted ninth. And so our team that year, we were all juniors.
So you really underachieved your senior year then.
You know who the crazy thing is? We lost one game in districts the next year, and we lost 1-0 in a rain-called game to this team that was in our district, Warren County. And they had a great pitcher. I mean, great pitcher. Went on pitch college ball and all that kind of stuff. We lost to them 1-0. That was our only district loss. We didn't even qualify for the postseason because they went undefeated and we had one loss in the district. And they actually changed the state rules, I guess, like the next year or 2 years later because of that. Because, I mean, we were the defending champions. We had one loss, and we didn't even go to the postseason play.
That's not good.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I quit baseball when they started throwing curves consistently because I couldn't hit one.
I couldn't hit them straight. I couldn't hit the fast. I couldn't hit anything.
I could hit a fastball, but they start throwing curves. It's like, it's time to go play.
I like the curves.
It's time to go play football.
Time to go block
curveballs ended up a little deep left center.
Mm. So we just heard the best of Jeff Loggeman. We had this question earlier in the week on Jaguars.com live or one of those shows. Anyway, 8 draft picks this year. The idea that should all 8 be defensive draft picks is
it's
possible, but would you mix it up and what would be your ratio?
No, there's no ratio. It's who's available. That I mean, you can't sit there and go into a draft and say we're picking all defense because our defense stunk last year. You can't do that. You've already supplemented the defense in free agency with numerous players. You go into the draft and you sit there and say, yes, it's going to be more slanted to defense. And if we have players that are of equal grades and we have a choice between player A and player B, A is off or is defense, and player B is offense, and they're equal grades, you take player A, who's a defensive player, and if he's in need. You know, but you can't go into the draft, and all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where you have a defensive player that is a guy that you really like, and he's the highest graded defensive player that you have, and player B is an offensive player who has a higher round grade on him than what you had on him, and he's sitting there waiting to be picked. You don't pass that opportunity.
Okay, well, I disagree a little bit. If you are sitting there at five, and Ramsey, Miles, Jack, and Bosa all go, you know, 2, 3, and 4. Quarterback goes one or whatever. However, Tennessee's not picking quarterback. You know what I'm saying. But four guys, first four picks, those three guys are gone. And the highest-rated player by far on the board is Tunsil, the left tackle from Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
By far. He is rated.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking him before you pick, let's say, Noah Spence, who's the best next pass rusher.
Or Shaq Lawson from Clemson or whoever. Whoever.
Well, Shaq Lawson's way down the board. Right. I mean, but Noah Spence is like the 10th or 11th.
Right, so, I mean, it's a great question. And in that situation, I'd probably have a hard time doing that at that spot. But at the same token, do you have a long-term answer at left tackle?
You might.
You might.
Do you?
If he plays well this year, they can extend
well,
him, right?
Yeah, but no, no. Do you know that you have a long-term answer at left tackle?
But do you know – I mean, you thought you, when you drafted Luke Tokel, he
I
was,
know.
So you are you convinced Tunsil is going to be that guy?
But if Tunsil has, let's say he's like a 9.5 grade, okay, and your next defensive player that you've got rated the best, let's say he's a 7, you know, I mean – wouldn't you be doing your team a disservice if it's that different? I mean, you've got Kelvin Beachum, who was allowed to go to free agency. He's coming off of an ACL. You've got Luke Jokel, who has been
Steelers tried average. Steelers tried to sign Beachum.
You know, I mean, it's a great question. I don't know if there's a right answer to that in that situation, but you got to think about it. I mean, you got to think about it. If he's that good, if he's that different of a caliber of an athlete, you have to consider that.
And I, Jeff, you're right. I mean, I'll go back to the Baltimore Ravens the year after I was drafted, picked Jonathan Ogden, the second overall pick. They had a Pro Bowl left tackle.
Phenomenal left tackle.
And Tony Jones. And they made the pick because he was clearly the best player on the board at that time. And it worked out pretty good. He's in the Hall of Fame. Great player. Worked out. I would not. I would take the best defensive player at number 5, no matter what offensive player is left on the board.
You know, and that draft that you're talking about.
They also got Ray Lewis at the end of the first round.
But I mean,
two Hall of Famers.
But because of the situation with Ogden, I mean that in that draft. But Ogden made Ozzie Newsome what he is today.
Well,
it made Ravens. I mean, Ray Lewis did too. No, I know, but I'm just saying is that when people talk about Ozzie Newsome, they talk about Ray Lewis first. But then
Ogden's
the next,
right, he's a great pick.
I mean, they start talking about Ogden right in the same sentence because you're talking
two
about
Hall of Famers
where they had a great left tackle. The left tackle that they had, Tony Jones, right,
was very good.
Phenomenal player. I played against Tony Jones. Great player,
Pro Bowl player, multiple time Pro Bowl player, Pro Bowl player with them, and then when we went to Denver, was a Pro Bowl player. But I would still take the best defensive player. I would go heavy defense in this draft. There's only two offensive positions I'd consider taking, and I would not even think about it until the second round at the earliest, but probably mid-round guys. An interior offensive lineman.
Okay.
The kid from Alabama, the center, who I've only watched live.
Ryan Kelly.
Jeff has watched the tape. I've watched him live, and I'll watch the tape coming up this week. Very good player from what I've seen. Jeff, you've watched the tape, the end zone, so you probably can give more insight on that. I would be tempted just because if he's that good, now you put him at center and you can leave Linder at guard. Is that a possibility? Maybe. I still would be real hesitant to do that because you need so much – you need defensive speed on the field. After that, though, I very well – if there's a mid-round guard – interior alignment that can give depth to this team. You can never have enough big guys. And that's the highest rated position in the middle of the rounds. I would take that guy. And then late, 5 through 7, if there's a speed running back on the board, I would take him.
How about tight end?
Sure.
Mercedes back, but is Koyak going to be a guy for you in the future? He was a late round pick last year.
Is it Nick Jacobs still here too?
Yeah, Jacobs
re-signed. Clay Harbin is gone now.
Okay, you have Mercedes, Nick Jacobs, and you have
Julius Thomas.
That's three tight ends.
Right.
Most teams keep about three tight ends.
Yeah.
So maybe you keep one more.
If there's a guy better than Jacobs on the board, do you think, in your opinion, do you go ahead and take him?
Possibly.
Maybe.
But I'm just telling you, the only two positions I'd be leaning towards would be interior offensive line and a speed running back.
Should be interesting.
I wouldn't be opposed to a tight end. I mean, does it look like, go back to what I said.
Because Mercedes isn't going to be around forever.
No. I mean, if you've got a grade and the grade is high and he's a player
what
that
round
has,
are you talking about, JP?
I'm not talking about five overall. I'm talking, you know, mid-rounds maybe, right?
You always consider any position once you get into the mid-rounds because you know what? When you're picking in the mid-rounds, are you picking a guy?
Yeah, picking guy to start right away in mid-rounds.
You got to pick the best player.
I agree with that.
Similar grades, yeah,
I lean
defense.
Hard defense.
We've got 3 weeks to figure it out. 3 weeks from tonight.
We're not going to figure anything out, JP.
Oh, we're going to figure it out, baby.
Because
we don't know. Until the draft.
JP,
we got an hour each Thursday to figure
Jeff
it out.
Jeff and I watch tape.
That's
and
great.
We barely know who they're going to pick. You don't even know if it's puffed or stuffed when it comes to the football. You have no clue.
Thanks.
He knows he went to Alabama.
You really lifted me up tonight, Tony. That's really nice of you. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on Channel 25. We'll look around the NFL after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli. Jeff Lagerman. A tradition unlike any other, our look around the National Football
League. Oh, that was cute. On Masters Week.
Masters underway. It would cost a king's ransom to trade for the number one pick, but that hasn't kept clubs from showing increased interest, according to Titans GM John Robinson. Do you feel a trade this year? There's always talk, but it never happened.
Who are they going to trade for? Who does someone want at the
quarterback? Carson Wentz.
Is he that good?
Well,
I don't know if he's that good, but I mean, it's a quarterback. I mean, it's, you know, what's the other quarterback's name?
Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch.
Which, is Goff up that high still? I don't know if he's that high.
No.
Cal guy, I don't know.
I don't think he is.
But everybody thinks the Browns are going to take a quarterback, so you got to jump ahead of him, right?
You would think that the Browns would take a quarterback.
They got RG3. They don't need one.
You just got to find out what the guy on the street corner says to the owner.
That's what happened last time.
We'll have to wait and see. But if the Titans can trade back not too far – and still get Tunsil, which, you know, you're thinking 3-4, you know, so it might take a couple teams to get involved to be able to make something like that happen. Yeah, it could happen. But, you know, King's ransom, maybe. Yeah. How far back do the Titans go to still get the guy that they want, which is reportedly Tunsil?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be one, which means there probably will be because, listen, I think this time of year is the biggest liar's poker game in the history of men.
Here's a problem, though, that I have with the trade rules. You know, the compensatory picks are not tradeable.
I thought they changed that this year, Jeff. They changed it this year.
I'm glad they did that because that was the dumbest rule ever written.
Yeah, they changed it this year.
Dave Caldwell was on with us last week for a segment and said basically he was told to kind of lock himself in a closet and not watch TV or any of the headlines or anything because
it's all
fake.
The Raiders, and you buy into it all?
All of it.
Every
line of it. Every word.
How many mock drafts do you look at daily?
17. No. The Raiders signed Reggie Nelson to a 2-year deal, and the Raiders keep stocking up.
Reunion.
What do you think? 2 years, $12 million.
Jack Del Rio.
Jack's the
Reggie
one who got
Nelson.
Rid of him.
Yeah. Jack couldn't wait to get Reggie out of town.
Now he wants him back.
Reggie's done a good job.
He's grown
since
up
he
a
left
lot.
Here, he's a very good football player.
He's a center fielder. Which, when he was here, that wasn't the defense that they played.
We had cover two. He was
too
not,
deep, yep. Safety, where you've got to make adjustments, and that's not what Reggie does best. Reggie does best what Reggie did at the University of Florida, which is play center field.
And go get the ball.
And get the ball.
He does a very good job at that.
And all of a sudden, that Raiders-Jags game is looking pretty good, man. The Raiders are
to
right
be good,
there, too.
Two young football teams that are making a lot of really good moves.
Peyton Manning consulting with John Madden about a future role, and reports, though, say Madden urged him to follow the path of Elway or try to grab a stake in ownership like Elway did not back in the day. And it does seem like CBS has a standing offer with Manning. What do you think Peyton's going to do?
I just don't see Peyton involved with media. I see him doing what John Elway did, just because Peyton likes to control. You know, and hey, look, he is extremely talented. Got a lot of qualities that made him a great player. Can those same qualities make him a great executive or a great broadcaster? Some have done it, some haven't. And so it's going to be, we'll have to wait and see.
The broadcasting's a coin flip. Because, listen, there's a lot of great players and great quarterbacks that they thought. I mean, Joe Montana was one.
Failed miserably as a broadcaster.
Couldn't do it. Other guys, Drakeman, make a great transition and do an outstanding job. Peyton Manning had maybe the best brain in the history of the NFL at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peyton Manning would make an excellent front office and leading the team because the way he thinks analytically, the way his work ethic, grinder, and you have to be that to be in that role as a GM or a president like John Elway. So I think that's the path he will take.
You know, but to get a role like John Elway has, that doesn't come along very often now.
No.
I mean, that was a very rare situation where John Elway is what team president.
Well, but and the reason it
– But he's not really the general manager.
No, but he hired the general manager, and he makes all the decisions.
He's the guy, right.
I grew up in Colorado and have all my family still there. John Elway is worshipped in Denver. And – So it was an easy hire for Pat Bowlen and that front the ownership group and whoever made the decision because it brought a lot of credibility back to the Broncos. And it's proven to be a great move because he's an outstanding executive. But when you're loved like that, it gives you a lot of opportunities.
And a lot of leeway.
A lot of leeway.
And where would that leeway be offered? I mean, the only place in the National Football League.
Indianapolis.
Well, Indianapolis to some extent, but
Tennessee as well.
But I mean, the ownership situation in Indianapolis, is, you know, that isn't
Tennessee,
so good.
Tennessee, he could
Tennessee,
do it as well.
But here's the problem with Tennessee.
They have ownership issues as well.
The ownership issues, and he just hired a general manager. You know, so I mean, there's two places that type of situation could prevail, but you've got issues in both places with ownership. In Indianapolis, it's an owner who. Well, we've kind of talked about many times, got some issues. And then in Tennessee, you know, they've got to solve, you know, the issue of ownership, you know, the percentage stake that the ownership situation has.
In the meantime, Peyton continues to make money off Papa John's Pizza in a very lucrative Colorado market.
And Budweiser because he owns a distributor in Mississippi, I think, or Louisiana or somewhere down south.
Good for him.
Report from Jason Cole of Bleacher Report that Bengals ownership is becoming impatient with head coach Marvin Lewis.
Already?
7 appearances over the last 13 years in the playoffs, 5 in a row. That followed a drought of 11 years without a playoff appearance. How could he be getting tired of that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me, but
they haven't won a playoff game.
Yeah. You know, that's the issue. I will say this about Marvin Lewis. When you talk to the guy and you get to know him, he is a fantastic individual.
I think he's a heck of a football coach.
And he is a good football coach. You know, so
Cincinnati was a dumpster fire before he took over, and I think it would be a huge mistake.
That's the real question. I mean, you talk about impatience with Marvin Lewis, you could talk about the impatience with the fan base and the ownership situation in Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati for years cut corners on every – part of their organization. Their scouting department was non-existent. The coaches were expected to do that.
It's still like that. Wow.
And it's still that way. You know,
really?
Oh, you didn't realize that. I think they have the smallest personnel department in the National Football League. At least at one time, they did. And I believe it's still the same situation that they have.
And I'll say this about Cincinnati real quick. In 95, when I got drafted, they had the first overall pick. No, they had the fifth overall pick, and they traded – up to number one. And back then it was the one place no one wanted to go.
No.
Like they had holdouts, they had issues with paying rookies, they practiced under an overpass. And my agent said, anywhere you don't want to go. And I said, yeah, I don't want to go to Cincinnati. I'll go anywhere else. I don't want to go to Cincinnati.
Well done, guys. Good to see you guys back in the States. Fantastic.
It's good to be here with you, JP.
Yeah,
I missed you.
We'll get to
I know you missed my
I missed you
comments.
And your quips, yes. And we'll get to do more of that next week.
Sounds good.
For Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.